views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from the kind of cloudy, hazy Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150 at Hubbard Radio. You might be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ. Hello out there, AM 1230 radio on one of the 35 stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio, or of course in the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever you're listening from today, you are going to want to stay tuned because we're going to be talking about something that's becoming sort of a hot topic in both the consciousness community and the sort of the 20-something community, and that is ayahuasca. And we're going to be looking at it from a fairly objective perspective, which I find fascinating. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hi there.
Hey, Benny. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Thanks to you, too. Are you wearing green?
No.
Oh, you get bitched.
I could lie and say I've got green underwear on, but yeah, I'd be lying.
I would still ask for proof. You know, like, I don't see it. It was funny because Sunny in Seattle at the 9 o'clock show, she did the same thing. So I had to run out and grab her something. Uh-huh. She'd feel more comfortable into the show. So it's up to you. I can find some, or you can just, you know, kind of go with the pinch.
I've got a green folder.
Look at you all looking around for something. I'll give you that one.
I brought a green folder right, with me. Yeah. Right. It's sort of turquoise.
Happy St. Yes. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Yeah, well, I do have a little bit of Irish in me.
You're off the hook for sure.
You know, I'm really interested in the conversation today because, you know, Benny, I know we have off the air, we've talked to some individuals who have gone down to Central America and had the experience of having ayahuasca. And I know that there are some people in this country that, you know, who've sort of done it behind closed doors. And everybody I've talked to who's either done it or talked to somebody who's done it talks about what a profound experience it is. And so I've been curious about it. And so I was very grateful when Peggy Snow, the associate producer of the show, who finds all these wonderful guests.
Yeah, she's the head honcho over there on scheduling. She knows what she's doing.
She really does.
It locked in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She found her way to Dr. Rachel Harris, who's written this book called Listening to Ayahuasca, New Hope for Depression, Addiction, PTSD, and Anxiety. And she is a researcher who's done her best to look at this objectively. It's a little complex to do that. But she's found some fascinating things, and so I'm really excited about it.
So like a researcher like you previously, right?
Yeah.
It's similar?
Well, yeah, she's a psychological researcher, and I was a statistician who ran the numbers for various types of research.
Got it. Okay.
And so, yeah, so you know, but we're at that same kind of frame of mind.
Gotcha.
Like, let's look at these things objectively. She is the author of this book, as I just said, Listening to Ayahuasca. She received a National Institutes of Health New Investigators Award, NIH New Investigators Award. She published more than 40 scientific studies in peer-reviewed journals, which I take my hat off to her about that because you have to go through a long process and you have to get things accepted and you have to have it evaluated by others before it actually gets published. She considered a medicine practitioner's, the ayahuasca tea has great therapeutic potential that is just beginning to be studied, and she's a part of that. And so she's you know, had her own experiences with that, and we'll talk to her about that. And she has worked in the realm of psychological consulting to Fortune 500 companies, as well as to the United Nations. And she lives off an island off the coast, on an island off the coast of Maine. Boy, I used to live in New England. I'm very happy to have Dr. Rachel Harris here. Hi, Rachel. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
You know, it's funny because I originally heard about ayahuasca from a client a number of years ago who had had a profound experience. And I've got a 20-something who's talked to me about it because he's got, you know, friends who've talked about trying it or have tried it. And he's curious. It's at that stage of like consciousness. So I was really excited to find that not only are people having experiences, but there are people like you who are beginning to evaluate it. What made you choose to take this path?
Well, you know, I'm sorry to say I have an example that I don't want other people to follow. And that is that I sort of fell into it without realizing exactly what I was getting into.
Uh-huh.
And that's not at all what I recommend. I recommend people research clearly and carefully and do all their homework before they make a leap. And I just sort of fell into it.
Okay.
So,
so where were you at the time?
I stopped being so honest, but I was, I think one thing that was important for me is that my daughter was just finishing graduate school.
Uh-huh.
So I felt I had completed that stage of my life. It was about 2005.
Yeah. And we really do go through stages according to, partly according to the stages that our kids are at. So I definitely understand that.
Yes, exactly. I had a new freedom, and I was living in New Jersey in Princeton, and, uh-huh. and I've spent most of my life doing private practice, although I had a decade of research work. And I was looking for a beach vacation. It was February in New Jersey. Uh-huh. To me, that was a no-brainer.
Right.
And so I signed up for a retreat that was on the beach in Costa Rica. And a few days before I was scheduled to leave, I get a phone call that says, "Do you want to participate in the ceremonies?"
Uh-huh.
And I say, "What ceremonies?"
Right.
I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden, this opportunity falls in my lap, and I was very ready. So
mm-hmm.
I actually did read up a lot about it in those 2 days before I left.
Uh-huh.
But it was quite serendipitous.
Right.
And part of what inspired the research is that my first ceremony, my first experience, was so personally meaningful to me that the next morning I had all kinds of questions about, as a therapist and a researcher, how does this work? This is so therapeutic and so healing.
Mm-hmm.
How way beyond anything I'd experienced before with psychedelic drugs.
Right.
How does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And
so
this is an unanswerable question,
right.
Basically.
Well, let's first talk about what ayahuasca is.
Well, it's a tea that's made from two plants that generally grow in the Amazon or rainforest. And the plants combine in such a way that the DMT, the active ingredient that is the psychedelic, becomes available. It means it can be accessed in your system.
Right, so bioavailable,
and
yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And so, so it is the psychedelic medicine, it's the DMT that's illegal in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And in the indigenous use of it, it's considered a medicine that heals a wide range of diagnoses that are mostly considered to be spiritual ailments.
Uh-huh.
That's how most medical problems are conceived from an indigenous cultural point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But in this country, the plants are legal.
Uh-huh.
You could order them from Amazon. You know, a couple of years ago, I sent one to a friend.
Uh-huh.
I sent an ayahuasca vine to a friend. It's legal. But once you combine the two plants and the DMT is released, then it's considered dangerous and of no medical value, just like marijuana is. So you can see there's a problem with some of our characterization of drugs or medicines. They're
right.
still considered not helpful when, of course, we know, you know, the general population, the surge from people who are finding relief from some of these medicines is that they are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's changing the laws.
Right. And here in Washington State, marijuana is actually legal for those who are 21 years of age and older. And
I think it's even legal. It's a recreational legal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, but it's been a long time coming, and with our current administration, that may change. But it's funny because I think that once upon a time, I'm thinking of when I was younger, we had this perspective that there were these drugs that sort of made you, turned you wild, and then there was these helpful drugs prescribed to you by doctors. And yet these days, people are getting to be more and more leery of the pharmaceutical drugs and are getting more interested in, you know, alternatives, including like regular, I mean, like mild supplements to things like marijuana or cannabis oil and, of course, ayahuasca.
Yes, and for people who are who suffer with depression or a combination of anxiety and depression, a full third of them, even up to a half, as some researchers say, will not respond to the prescription drug.
Mm-hmm.
They will not get any relief. So some people, it's quite miraculous. They get not immediate relief, but in a month or so, they really feel much better. But a good third of people will not benefit from the psychoactive drugs that are part of the medical pantheon.
Yeah.
So they're, now what do they do? So this is an alternative.
Right.
It's, again, not going to be helpful for everybody, but for the people who it does help, they're very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And I want to say I did one of the first studies in the ayahuasca underground, and it's a kind of a survey study with some statistical analysis.
Uh-huh.
But in the survey, you know, of course I collected background data, and I had 81 subjects, which was a good-sized group at that time. And
sure.
Then I also personally interviewed another 50 or so.
Uh-huh.
But the 81 subjects, the average age was in their 40s, about 44.
Uh-huh.
And more than half had master's degrees. So
interesting.
This is,
well-educated.
Well-educated group. So when you introduced me and said this is something the 20-somethings are interested in, they might be, but now I collected this data in 2008 for 2 to 3 years. I collected data. So things are changing pretty quickly.
Right.
But this was a mature, well-educated group.
Yes, and I sort of think of it as people who are middle-aged, particularly those who are interested in consciousness, who have been doing it. And yet it's interesting because I'm hearing from my 20-something that the 20-somethings are very curious about it. I think that, you know, there's a whole stage that they're at in relationship to what's going on in our world where they're feeling kind of dismayed. And I think they're looking for some, you know, shift in perspective. Anyway, this is fascinating. We're going to want to hear more, not only about the profound experiences people have, but how and why this might be useful for treating some things like PTSD and anxiety. More with Dr. Rachel Harris when we return here in just a few moments.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit claudetterowley.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Rachel, we were talking about ayahuasca, and I know that you're very, very familiar with people's experiences on this. And, you know, I've heard some personal experiences and through the grapevine experiences. Can you share with our listeners what a typical kind of ayahuasca experience might be?
Oh, let me assure you, there is no typical.
Okay.
The range is enormous and unpredictable. So some people have conversations with relatives or loved ones who have died, where they really feel they're encountering them. Other people have mystical experiences where they blast off into the heavens, into the cosmos.
Uh-huh.
Other people feel like they're dying, literally dying, in during the journey. Some people have many, many visions, or, you know, there's the classic encounter of a jaguar or a snake, or being eaten by, you know, entering into the mouth of a snake.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the range of visionary experiences is so incredibly broad. So it's quite different from the research that's being reported about psilocybin studies or even LSD studies.
Okay.
This is the very... And then I have to tell you, I've been in a ceremony in Costa Rica where I brought friends to join me for this. I was so enthused. So I brought my dear friends who were very experienced psycho-spiritually. And they sat in the same ceremony I did, bored to tears. Nothing happened. And they drank twice as much of the medicine as I did.
Huh.
And they just finally, around after midnight sometime, they just went to bed. Nothing ever happened.
Okay. So there are shamans who run these, right?
I was with authentic Ecuadorian shaman at that time.
Okay.
And we have no way of Western way of understanding this wide range of responses to this medicine.
Right. Well, it seems to me that when exploring near-death experiences, when people have been like clinically dead and then, you know, have come back, although there's some similarities, there is quite a bit of variability. I mean, some people will see the dead relatives. Some people will just feel connected to the cosmos. Some people will go down the tunnel of light. But it doesn't mean that you know, there's not some sort of commonality about it. So for those people who do experience something, is there like a common thread?
I cannot say there's a common thread. I mean, people say things in general that everybody agrees with. So one comment that people make is, one night of ceremony is worth 10 years of psychotherapy. Now, as someone who has spent their life doing psychotherapy, I'm not exactly thrilled with that.
Right.
But there is a sense that things happen during the ceremony that are what I would say are a rocket boost to your personal development.
Uh-huh.
And that, it's not 100%, but I would say most people experience that in some way.
Uh-huh.
So it might be a philosophical way that they have a whole new perception of where they are in relationship to the universe.
Right.
And it might be a personal way that they relived a childhood trauma and feel that they've moved past it. I mean, the details can differ widely, but
sure,
most people feel that there's that overall benefit.
Mm-hmm. So how long does an ayahuasca experience typically last? Like the physiological aspect of it.
Physiological is about 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that's LSD can be 12 hours, which is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is a very intense 6 hours. It often involves purging, which is, you know, a lovely term for vomiting and or diarrhea.
Okay.
So that's such a common response that everybody sits with a bucket next to them, and that's the sort of thing that gets talked about a lot.
Oh, dear.
Everybody's very interested in the vomiting.
Uh-huh.
And the focus of my research has always been on what happens afterward, after the ceremony and the days and weeks that follow.
Uh-huh.
How are you different? How are your relationships changed? How are you, what's different about your life? What do you change?
Right.
And as a psychologist, that's been my basic question all along.
Now, as a former statistician and, you know, I've worked in the medical realm and engineering, but I've done some things in like some psychological aspects like quality of life. I know that when you're talking about evaluating the psychological endpoints, it's trickier. They're fuzzier. It's harder. Like in many situations,
well,
you can't randomize.
Think so. We think we have really strong data.
Well, no, there's that aspect. If you have a questionnaire that is reliable, that's been tested, then yes, you can get valid data that and statistically analyze it. But it's harder sometimes to get to that point. It's not like, okay, well, let's just take the size of the tumor and evaluate how much it's increased or decreased.
We're not measuring a material substance. It's quite different.
Yeah. So how did you develop your questionnaire?
Well, the very first level of developing a questionnaire is interviewing people.
Okay.
And the most extraordinary thing about my initial process is I I'd had half a dozen ceremonies. I didn't know a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I was interviewing very experienced people. And one very intuitive female shaman said to me, and let me just say my research was limited to North America. These were people drinking ayahuasca in an underground, discreet kind of setting in the States and Canada.
Right.
This one intuitive female shaman said, ask, what is your relationship to the spirit of ayahuasca?
Oh, interesting.
And I just said, okay.
Uh-huh.
I would never have thought of this. And so just a bare-bone statistic of 81 people, three-quarters of them reported an ongoing relationship with the spirit of ayahuasca.
Is that just during the ceremony or after as well?
Ongoing.
Okay.
After, beyond any influence of the physiological medicine.
Interesting.
Ongoing. Yes. And they reported communicating with her in dreams, during meditation, intuitive understanding. Some people heard a voice, but there was a sense of connection, constant event that she would be constantly available, kind and loving, and have their best interest. I mean, it was like a perfect therapist, always available.
Right.
So this was remarkable, and it has implications for healing, that you feel somebody is there who's on your side, who's loving, who's kind. I mean, this is a very healing, ongoing relationship. And I had no way, I mean, no way to understand this. We can't understand this from a Western point of view.
Right, right.
And on top of this, I had actually heard a voice.
Okay, tell me about that experience.
Yes, I know. That's exactly what a psychiatrist would say. And, you know, I know enough not to tell this story to a psychiatrist. This was a voice that's separate from my inner voices, and I'm pretty familiar with my inner voices.
Sure,
so this was
yeah.
a really separate voice. And, I mean, the voice basically said, do the research.
Uh-huh.
And that's what started me on this whole project.
That's great.
And there were no details about how to do it. This, you know, the voice was not a control person
right.
or spirit. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the process, the study I published is in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs, mm-hmm. summer of 2012. And I have a co-author who was one of my research mentors. He'd been retired for 20-some years.
Uh-huh.
He'd been honored by the American Psychological Association for a lifetime contribution.
Right.
He came out of retirement to work with me on this.
Oh, that's great.
And I call him up. We're into the data analysis part because I had a comparison group, which is not the same as a control group.
Right.
But they were a comparison group who had attended a Catholic spiritual retreat for okay. a weekend. So they had a spiritual experience of their own.
And let's just back up here for a minute. Rachel, because for our listeners, I know you understand this really well, but it's like typically in the ideal world, you'd randomize somebody to either, you know, get the thing you're curious about, in this case, ayahuasca, versus some other kind of tea or spiritual experience, you know, or ritual. And so you haven't had an opportunity to do that. So you ended up coming up with a comparison group.
We are so far from that kind of research. I mean,
yeah.
we can't even... We have no control over the dose or the potency
yeah,
of
that's...
the tea. So, I mean, just think about it. We are decades away from that kind of controlled study
right,
to
right.
really look at it.
But you were being responsible enough to come up with a comparison group so that you could actually sort of, you know, do an A-B comparison.
Yes, exactly. So we could compare their responses on a questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
And we were looking at it. We got, we did a MANOVA, which you're familiar with, and I'm not mm-hmm. going to go into detail.
It's a statistical analysis, yes.
A statistical analysis to compare the two groups. And they were significantly different.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 81 ayahuasca users and about 40 retreatants.
Uh-huh.
And we got statistical significance. And I thought, well, yay for our team. Our team, the ayahuasca users scored a little higher on spiritual experience and joy and those kinds of variables.
Right.
And we're just about in the process of writing this up. I am not under the influence of anything.
Uh-huh.
Middle of the afternoon, I'm home, and I hear a voice that says, gives me information about the data analysis
mm-hmm.
and says, you know, they're significantly different, but it doesn't really matter. They're still so close in how they responded to the questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
So I call my co-author and I present, I say, Grandmother Ayahuasca just told me. And there's this little pause. He's now used to me.
Uh-huh.
And he says, well, let me think about it. So he goes back and he looks at the mean scores and they were a few tenths of a point different
mm-hmm.
between the ayahuasca users and the retreatants.
Right.
So, yes, it came out to be statistically significant with the ayahuasca users appearing to score higher on spiritual variables. But really, it was between a 3.4 and a 4.1, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, on a 5-point scale.
Right.
So it wasn't clinically that different. And so the conclusion that we drew was more, this is an authentic spiritual experience for both groups.
Uh-huh.
And needs to be respected as such. This is not a drug experience that's an addictive drug in any sense. Trust me, it's not addictive because
right.
it's not that pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And if you drink too much of it, you just vomit it up more.
Right.
So
right.
there's no addiction here. And it's not a recreational drug.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the real medicine that's opening up a spiritual experience that is comparable to a very traditional spiritual experience.
Right, right. We have to go to another quick break, but more here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Dr. Rachel Harris, the author of Listening to Ayahuasca, New Hope for Depression, Addiction, PTSD, and Anxiety. Now, Rachel, you know, we've talked a little bit about the ayahuasca experience. You talked about this comparison of those people who were doing sort of behind closed doors in North America, you know, have ayahuasca, and then comparing them to the Catholic group. Now, in this country, you mentioned that it is illegal, right? And when you put those things together in that form. But your research is indicating that it may be helpful to people in therapeutic realms. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about that, please?
Yes, absolutely. People frequently report that they feel better about themselves, that they feel they sort of have a right to be in the world, that they feel loved, that they feel okay about themselves.
That's huge. So that's huge.
It's a huge healing for people. And so that's, you know, that's the first place I would start describing it. Uh-huh. The other thing is that their mood improves. They're less depressed, less anxious, or if they still have those feelings come up, they sort of have more distance from them, mm-hmm. so they can manage those feelings better. And then the other thing they report is improved interpersonal relationships. Now, these three things taken together are exactly what we want to be outcomes in psychotherapy. This
sure.
is exactly the sort of thing we look for. And you can see that they're interrelated. I feel better about myself. I'm less moody. I want to be with people more.
Mm-hmm.
My relationships improve. I'm more available. I'm happier. And it sets up a whole cascade that goes in a positive direction.
Uh-huh.
And these findings are consistently reported. On top of that, you also get sort of these miracle statements from people who are maybe full-fledged alcoholics or getting into trouble with alcohol,
uh-huh.
where the next morning they say, I realize it's a poison. I am never touching it again. And
wow.
I have to tell you, I didn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
And I have followed people up for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have, you know, 5-7 year follow-up
sure.
with some people and didn't touch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the same thing happens with depression, where people say the dark cloud that I've lived with all my life lifted and has never returned.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's not because they're continuing to drink the medicine. This is what I call a miracle cure. We uh-huh. can't really explain it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen to everyone. Other people have to kind of continue with the medicine and work with it, and then the depression lifts gradually.
Uh-huh.
So
usually with a whole lot of talk therapy to boot, yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, people are not combining this with therapy, partly because therapists are not prepared to deal with these experiences. They haven't, uh-huh. there aren't enough therapists with experience.
We need more of those who have that connection to that spiritual realm, because that's, for
yeah.
me, I've been in therapy several times in my life, and that's been such an important piece for me to be able to integrate that and to speak truth about it and to seek truth about it.
Exactly. Exactly. In part, you know, my book is for people thinking about using ayahuasca and for people who have used it
uh-huh.
and want more help with integrating their experience. But it's also for therapists working with these people to have a broader picture of what therapy can be
uh-huh.
with people working with these altered states.
Right, right. So, what's next in your research with this?
Oh, you have to understand. I'm retired. I came out of retirement.
Oh no, you can't do that. I'm curious about what comes next.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have to really. I'd have to be given another mission statement.
Uh-huh. Right.
I honestly don't know what comes next. I mean, I really hope that more therapists can become more open about working with people who have these unusual experiences,
uh-huh.
really, whether they're connected to ayahuasca or other psychedelic experiences or even spontaneous spiritual experiences.
Right.
As
right.
a profession, we have to get better at working with these altered states.
Yes. And, you know, as somebody who's worked in energy healing for, 14 years, 15 years, whatever it is, and having been evaluated scientifically, I know that things can shift in an instant and be very profound. And I've seen people stop their addictions to cigarettes or whatever, like right away, and have huge shifts in relationships as well as have physical healings. And yes, we need to be able to integrate these different pieces into our perspective on health and well-being in our society. But how do we sort of go down that path when we have, you know, big pharma with their agenda and the AMA, which can be very beneficial in so many ways, but with their own sort of, limited perspective? How do we move through that and welcome something like potential healing through ayahuasca?
Well, I can't answer the big societal questions, especially right now in our country.
Okay, so share with us what your ideal would be.
I can say from a psychological point of view, you know, William James, who lived around the early 1900s,
uh-huh.
is regarded as the father of psychology.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote about something he called discontinuous transformation. And it's his term for those spontaneous healing experiences. It's discontinuous. It's not a process. It happens in a flash, mm-hmm. and it's transformative. Mm-hmm. And he was referring in part to like a religious conversion. And there is, it doesn't even have to be tied to any religion. It can be a spiritual experience that just changes everything about the person.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the astronauts reported this when they first began going up into space, and they looked down and saw the planet in the blackness of the universe, and they saw the whole planet. Many of them reported that as a spiritual experience, and they were transformed in their lives.
Uh-huh.
So we don't always know what causes this kind of spontaneous spiritual experience. But if you begin to look in the literature, it's throughout the psychological literature. It's difficult to research it, and it really hasn't permeated clinical training.
Mm-hmm.
The recent research about it has called it the quantum change.
Right.
A quantum change. It's a leap.
Right.
And it's quite remarkable. And this is a conversation completely separate from ayahuasca as a medication or any drugs. It's a totally different point of view.
Do you think that over the last, 100, 120 years, we have, as a society, stepped away from the spiritual?
You know, we're supposedly one of the most religious countries in the world. We talk about religion a lot.
Mm-hmm. But religion and spirituality can be different things.
Yes, but, I was going to the national polls. Gallup and Pew have asked people, have you had a mystical or spiritual experience? Half the people say yes.
Wow.
But yet it's still not sort of okay to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not a part of standard therapy. Therapists are not trained to ask about this,
right,
or what it meant to them or how they changed. And usually these experiences are life-changing, and people change their priorities in life. I mean, the research shows, this they can research, is that people shift from a more materialistic point of view where possessions and earning power are priorities,
uh-huh,
to priorities that have more to do with family, relationships, quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are changes in lifestyle that we can measure. And so with all of this being documented, we still don't really talk about it in the broader culture.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life?
Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Rachel, this hour is flying by. Before we, you know, get to the end of this last segment, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you, how they can learn more about your book.
Well, I think the best thing is to go to my website. It's listeningtoayahuasca.com.
And you need to spell ayahuasca for many people, Rachel.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I still spell it wrong. AYAHUASCA. Listening to Ayahuasca. It's the title of the book as well.
Right.
Listeningtoayahuasca.com.
Okay. And so here we are in a situation where you've done some research and you've gotten some interesting data, and you know that this can be of value, of significant value to people. So how can you help a person decide whether or not to do this? And if they choose to do this, how would they go about having an ayahuasca experience?
This is good that we cover this, because basically, because it's illegal in this country, there's no regulation whatsoever. And I have to mention also, there's no regulation in Peru or in Central or South America regarding this. So anybody can call themselves a shaman and give you anything in a cup. Who knows what you're drinking?
Uh-huh.
And
that's scary.
It's a pretty scary situation. And I just have to say, and I guess this is how we started the interview as well, is be very careful, do your homework, check it out very well. And even then, I have a friend who's very experienced, and she ended up in a difficult situation in a group she didn't want to be in.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be very, very careful.
Okay, so if somebody chooses to have this experience, how do I put this? Can things go awry within the context of their experience?
Well, they're just very concrete things that you want to know there are enough helpers in the room so nobody wanders off, for instance.
Okay.
And so
helpers
morning,
who are not on ayahuasca then?
Or might be on a very small dose of it, but they're able to be of help, to help you get to the bathroom when you need to.
Right.
And to make sure everybody stays in the room. Nobody wanders off to, you know, to explore the woods nearby or something like that. And because there are stories of people walking out of ceremonies for whatever reasons. And you want to feel that you're in a safe situation where people will take care of each other. There are enough people to take care of you, where you trust the person leading the group. Those kinds of issues. And then the next morning, the group needs to make sure everybody's in a fairly good place when they leave. And this is where we all have to learn how to take good care of each other and really look around. You know, usually there's a sharing circle. You want to hear from everyone and make sure they feel they're together the next morning, that they're ready to move on back into their life, whatever that means.
Right.
So those are the structural things that you can look for.
Mm-hmm. Are there physical risks associated with this? I mean, besides like wandering off and falling off a cliff, but actually taking the drug.
Well, you know, there have been deaths reported from South America, but it's, you know, the medical investigation into these deaths is not what it might be if it happened in the States. So we don't know exactly what happened, and we don't know that it was a direct cause of ayahuasca. There was a recent death of an Australian young man, but it was from a tobacco overdose. It was a tobacco poisoning. That was part of an ayahuasca ceremony, but it wasn't the ayahuasca itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know why he died. Everybody drank the tobacco mixture. So there are a lot of questions that we don't know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that the research on psilocybin mostly and some LSD is farther ahead because they're doing it in hospital settings with a lot of control, and they haven't had any complications like this.
Right.
But with ayahuasca, if you go to the jungle, you're hours away from whatever medical care is available in a large Peruvian city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a serious exploration, let's put it that way.
Right. There are risks, but of course, in that kind of setting, that's the traditional setting with the shaman, and it's, you know, there are probably the advantages to that as well, sort of honoring the history of the tradition.
There's that, and there are illegitimate shaman as well, or shaman who have taken advantage of Western young women and,
lovely.
You know, mixed.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Ew,
yeah.
Gosh.
I mean, it's the same problems we've had with every spiritual guru for the last 50 years, and I just don't know of the ones before that.
Right.
But, you know, it's all about sex and money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these kinds of, there are plenty of reports about illegitimate behavior going on as well.
Sure. So it would be helpful to work with somebody or to get information from somebody who is knowledgeable about it, who's had that experience.
As best as you can. It's a difficult situation. That here's a medicine that has such healing potential, and yet I don't really have a safe referral for you.
Right.
So that's part of the paradox of the current situation.
Okay. So, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Rachel. What message would you like to leave us with based on your own personal experience as well as the research from this?
Well, you know, I would like to say that an apprenticeship to become a shaman takes decades. I found on the internet there's a program at one retreat center that you can go down there for 6 weeks and be trained as a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not my real understanding. It's an apprenticeship that takes decades. So that's not even I've been doing this for 6 years. Decades, 20 years sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a legitimate sense of a lineage that the shaman is connected to the shamans who trained him and the generations before.
Right.
And so you're working with a traditional heritage. And I think this is not something we're terribly familiar with in Western culture.
Yes.
And part of what we need to learn about this medicine is to respect that lineage.
Okay, so I want to mention the name of this book, Listening to Ayahuasca, New Hope for Depression, Addiction, PTSD, and Anxiety. Now, Rachel, what's the next step in the research? And I know you say you're retired, but on a more general level, what's the next step?
Well, I think the most exciting research that's going on is happening in a university in England. And that's where they're using a functional MRI machine to look at people who are under the influence of psilocybin.
Uh-huh.
And so they're describing what the changes are in the brain during those hours. And one of the findings is that there's a quieting of what they call the default mode network, which is that constant yammering we have in our head.
Right, right.
You know, that includes the critic and the list of things you have to do tomorrow. And this kind of self-talk occupies, I think they say, 60% of our consciousness.
God help
us. Sad. Exactly. Thank you. That sums that up. It's sort of a sad finding.
Yeah.
And so they're beginning to look at what it means to quiet that part of the brain and how that allows for what the underground term is recalibration.
Yeah.
It is literally an opportunity for neurological rewiring.
And that's exciting. And I know that, you know, we've got so much more that it'd be fascinating to hear about, but we have run out of time. So again, Rachel's website is listeningtoayahuasca.com. It's listening to AYAHUASCA.com. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much,
okay,
Christine.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.